Sometimes on Sunday mornings when I'm watching the Sunday morning talk shows and I have lost the will to live, I think I think of, you know, that bright spot in your week. And for me, it's sitting down with an independent bookseller and talking about some great books that have come out over the past weeks. And so it's a thrill to talk about these great books with our dear friend Amy Lane of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery, who is here to just talk to you about some wonderful, wonderful books that have made their way to store shelves. And you should be paying attention to them, because maybe you can pay attention to them instead of other things.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, it's hard to not pay attention.
Yeah,
to those
other things. It's not that it will replace it, but it's a supplement.
supplement.
Well, good morning. It's always a delight to have you here.
Likewise, of course.
All right. Well, where would you like to begin?
I honestly don't know this morning. It's okay. One of those things. So, you know what? I am going to begin with Casablanca.
Ooh.
Because I love the movie Casablanca. And there's this beautiful new book out for particularly people like me, fans, called We'll Always Have Casablanca, The Life, the Legend, and Afterlife of Hollywood's Most Beloved Movie by Noah Eisenberg. And I don't know that it is, in fact, Hollywood's most beloved movie, though I might like to think of it as such. I'm sure there are people who would be willing to, you know, debate that with me. But it's a really lovely look at how the movie was brought to fruition, how it has impacted our society and culture beyond its initial screenings and so on and so forth, because it has stuck around, and it's stuck around for a reason, and it's not just the story. And it's really interesting how timely Casablanca was.
Yeah.
By happy accident, really. And how it resonated with the people of the, you know, just before we entered World War II, and how Humphrey Bogart really became that sort of everyman, right? I'm not going to stick my neck out if I don't have to,
right,
kind of idea. And one of the things that has stuck with me, the first time I heard this, I think, was on like a DVD commentary. There's this one scene in the movie that I love, and I love it now more because of this knowledge. A lot of the extras in the bar scenes were had come from Europe, right? So they were basically refugees. They had been escaping the war and had come and were a part of this film. And there's that wonderful scene where the Germans are there and the resistance is there, and they are each singing their own songs. And there was this visceral, palpable conflict and pride in the resistance song. Like, this meant something to the people who were singing it and acting in that scene in that moment. And it's so clear when you see it how moving that moment is in that movie. And it's a small thing, but there's nothing like hearing that clash of resistance and statehood, right?
Yes.
To that. Anyway, so that's just a small part of this larger whole of this beautiful movie, but it's one that resonates with me personally, so I'm going to therefore share it with you.
It's I've read this book. It's lovely, and it also reminds you, because every once in a while you think, oh, I don't know if I remember that scene, and then you start, and then you're like, oh, yeah, okay. I know what scene you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And everybody turns in brilliant performances. I mean, it's really just a sublime, pitch-perfect little movie. That has stood the test of time. There.
All right. The name of the book is We'll Always Have Casablanca by Noah Eisenberg.
The next one I want to talk about is Wake of Vultures by Lila Bowen. This is a really fun fantasy with an Old West theme.
All right.
I know, it sounds crazy.
Who are the vultures?
Who are the vultures? The vultures are just vultures.
Oh, okay.
It's like a murder of crows kind of thing. You know, a wake of vultures. That's
analogous to anything. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And our heroine of the story is Nettie Lonesome, who's this sort of nearly slave girl on this ranch, and she's out and about and is attacked by this guy, and she fights back and she wins and he turns to sand. And that's how we open. And it's like, wait, what? How did that happen? So you feel like you're in just
Can we
old
order
West.
That, by the way?
Right? I'll see what we can do. And then the story just progresses from there. It's the first in a series, and this is probably, in my mind, this is one of those books that, like, nobody's really heard of, but has gotten all sorts of great praise and review and deserves a look. So if you're into that sort of fantasy, Old West kind of feel, she's a great, great character to follow. Nettie Lonesome.
This is why I love this segment, because it's to spotlight books like that.
Yeah.
To put them on people's radar. Mm-hmm. And people who are desperately looking for something to read, there you go.
I think it's great. It's a wonderful sort of world building and character driven and all the good stuff that you're looking for.
Wake of Vultures by Lila Bowen.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Next, I'm going to go to Yimpa Lahiri, who is best known for her novels, The Namesake, has written an essay, more of a memoir called In Other Words. And I really love this book. She also won the Pulitzer Prize winning book, Interpreter of Melodies.
Yes.
Yes, I don't want to forget that. Though Namesake sticks with me for other reasons. But at any rate, so she has long been in love with the language of Italy, right? Mm-hmm. The Italian language. And so she decided to set a goal for herself to write in Italian, to write something in Italian. And she has, and it is this. And what I like about this book is many, many things. But one of the things I like is that it is presented to us in both English and Italian. So you see her original Italian, and then it is translated into English. She did not translate her own work. She had someone else do that for her, which is smart. And she did that so she as writer would not manipulate her initial Italian. So her translation of the Italian would stay true to her Italian context.
I love that.
And vocabulary and grammar. Yeah, I do too. I admire her for that, because English, she is much stronger as a writer, and so she felt like she would try to massage the syntax and all of that. But it's about her struggles with writing in this new language and what that allowed her to come back to, this sort of joy of learning anew, right? To read that first book in a new language, and how exciting it is, that joy that we get from that first moment when you learn to string those words together and understand what they mean. It's simple and childlike, but it is very joyful. And once you know that, it's hard to recapture that, but she's found a way. And it's lovely. And her language, whether it's in her English or Italian, the way that she poetically describes her struggles and the world around her is just gorgeous. And I love it. Just love it.
The name of the book is In Other Words.
Yes.
Yimpa Lahiri.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So next on my list is The 300 Arguments by Sarah Manguso. And I'm just going to turn this over to you. I defy you.
We're not going to have an argument. We're just going to give me a book about arguments.
What I love is this is just 300 little sentences, phrases, tiny paragraphs of thoughts, ideas. And they're not really arguments, but they're fun. And they're little bite-sized nuggets that you can chew on and digest. And I think it's delightful.
Do you know how we're supposed to use these? I mean, are you just supposed to, like, bring them up? And so I say to you, difficulty becomes familiar at least, if no less difficult.
Right.
So then are we supposed to argue and discuss that?
I suppose we could. Why not?
Okay. All right.
We can, let's discuss.
I mean, is that the idea of the book?
I don't know that she had an idea. Part of what she has said is that she decided to just give us all the good bits of the book that she was thinking about.
All right.
So in some ways, it's like, why write a whole novel if I can just condense it all into the memorable
sentences?
Like, just
throw out the good lines.
Yeah.
Right.
So here we have it. And it's not really told in any sort of story way. But I think what, again, I love about this is that it's open to interpretation. Yes, we can sit down and talk about each of these little nuggets. Or you can just ingest them and
well, I was stupidly thinking that she was presenting arguments for us to have, but these are arguments that she is making.
I think so, yes.
Oh, that, well, so that makes much more sense to
no,
me.
No, but let's have an argument. I think that could be fun.
I don't want to have an argument with you. I like you too much to have an argument.
I don't think it would be a fist of us kind of argument, you know.
An intellectual argument?
Yes,
sure.
Those are always exciting and engaging.
Are those still allowed in our society?
Oh, God, I hope so. Please let's have that be the truth.
300 Arguments by Sarah Manguso.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And so I think I marked one of my favorites in here. I just happened upon this morning. It's called The Most Likable Person You Know Just Might Be a Sociopath. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a good argument. It's a good argument. All right.
It's so much fun. And then we come to the book, the one that everybody seems to be talking about, and I know it's been presented
with
here
good reason. Actually, I don't.
Times.
You know, actually, I don't think it has.
Really?
Interesting. We expected every bookseller to come in with it.
Seriously?
And I don't think any bookseller has yet.
But man, that's a shame, because this is it, man. This
doesn't
this
get
is
any
the,
better.
No,
than this.
It really, really doesn't. If you want to see somebody who has stretched their limits of their brilliance and genius, this is the work you want to be reading, and it is Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders. Man, please read this. Everybody, I implore you. Just do it.
It's a hard book to describe.
It is, because it's part play, it's part poetry, there's like a chorus,
there is nonfiction, there is fiction.
Yes, and it's President Lincoln, and the Bardo is this limbo state,
this sort of Buddhist
liminal state,
this Buddhist purgatory.
Yes, that's a terrible. I prefer the liminal state.
Yes,
that sounds much more pleasing.
Yes,
but no, it's hard. It's a difficult. It's emotional and thought provoking, and it's exciting because it's not told in any straightforward way that we're used to, narratively speaking. And I love that.
And it changes. And
yes.
And it's, I will note, just a quick plug for my own show, but at 3:00 today, we'll be talking to George Saunders on the book show for a half hour. And he is, besides being the greatest author in the world, he's the greatest guest in the world.
Oh.
And he's just fantastic. Oh. So at 3:00 today, we'll be discussing in detail the mechanics of Lincoln and the Bardo.
Oh, well, I know. I'll be tuning in.
Yeah,
holy
cow.
Good
stuff.
So do yourself a favor.
So just real quick, because I just want people to know, but it's Lincoln's son, Willie,
yeah,
who then dies and then is in the Bardo.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all of this sort of chorus of graveyard people who are also in the Bardo,
mm-hmm,
discussing what is going on. But again, that's hard to explain because there's so much more to it. And and just when you think you sort of have it down, it changes a little, and it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
And by the way, we'll point out also that it's just a day, right? It's one day. It takes place in one day.
So it's fascinating.
It's also
fascinating.
And I think sometimes this can be, it's a quick read.
Yes.
Because it's quick. But you want to spend time with it.
Yes. And you will. And you should. Really, really.
Lincoln and the Bardo by George Saunders.
Okay. I have two picture books. The first one is The Rooster Who Would Not Be Quiet, which I adore this. It's by Carmen Agraditi and Eugene Yelchin. And it's, so there's this village of La Paz. It's a happy village. They make a lot of noise, and it's a little too noisy, and they decide that they need a little bit of quiet. And so they kick out the old mayor, and they elect a new one, and the new mayor, Don Pedro, outlaws all sorts of noise and singing. And some people leave and some people stay, and it becomes a very quiet, very subdued village. Until one day, this rooster and his family come along, and he just sings his happy, happy song, right? And in the book, it is, instead of a cock-a-doodle-doo, it's a kee-kee-kree!
Okay.
How do you not enjoy that? So Don Pedro hears this and is very upset and threatens the rooster. And to stop singing. And the rooster says, well, I'm not going to stop. And so the rooster continues to sing. Don Pedro locks him up, and the rooster continues to sing. And Don Pedro plunges him in darkness, and he sings, and he starves him, and the rooster continues to sing. And I think that's a lovely message to keep singing, right? Keep raising your voice. And if we do so as a collective, great things can happen.
It's a beautiful book. It's beautifully illustrated.
I love the bright
Eugene
colors.
Yelchin.
Yeah.
And I have to say, as I am not a parent, but I am an uncle, and I have spent a fair amount of my time reading bedtime stories to children. This is a very long one.
It is. It is a long one, but it's so much fun.
You may want to do this one early.
Start with that.
Start
and
with
then
this, and then move on
with
to some
good
of
night
the
moon.
Right. But it is great. That's really good.
It really,
and
really.
Beautiful illustrated.
Yeah, I love it. It's a delightful, delightful book. And the rooster is just enchanting and fun. And
The Rooster Who Would Not Be Quiet by Carmen Agra Didi.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one is the legendary Miss Lena Horne. It's a lovely picture book biography of this legendary, obviously, actress, singer, activist of that World War II era. And it's illustrated by our local illustrator, Elizabeth Zunin, who we will be having at the store this Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Oh, wonderful.
So come meet her and see her beautiful work that she does, great illustrations. And it's a really accessible biography of this very important woman in our history who doesn't always get the attention I believe she deserves. So
it's Women's History Month.
Indeed it
is. It
would
be a wonderful time to
bring your daughters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Read a book like this. It's the legendary Miss Lena Horne, and the artwork is beautiful.
It really is.
I mean, she was beautiful, but this artwork is beautiful,
It's stunning.
And the event takes place on
This Saturday, March 11th, from 1 to 2:30.
And you can find out more by going to the website, which is
www.opendoor-bookstore.com.
Also, if you want to see Amy's list, you can see it there or on our website. We have a link to their place, which is wamc.org/roundtable. And for goodness sakes, go visit them. They're right on J Street in Schenectady, which is always good. It's Open Door Books. I was going to ask you a question about how things were going on in town, but we're out of time.
It's good.
Okay, good. All right. Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady. J Street, Amy Lane, we love you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.